Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David
and Donald. Tonight, we're talking about astrology. David, what is your definition of astrology? What is astrology to you?
Astrology, well, what it is to me is—you mean how it applies to me, or just generally my definition, or how I see it? Because I mean, there are the standard definitions.
Yeah, just your personal definition, your personal ideology or feel of what astrology is.
Well, I think astrology is kind of a—I kind of look at it as a map, I guess, as it were. I look at, you know, it's funny because going into this, you know, I've done research on astrology and stuff like that. In fact, I used to do natal charts and I studied astrology. The majority of that I did 20 years ago, something like that. As far as my takeaways from it, it always seems to me just kind of a map, I would say, just kind of a reflection of just kind of the macrocosm of just the human experience, kind of based on some archetypes. Not to sound really kind of out there, but
no, it actually sounds, you know, pretty in line with what I believe a lot of people would define as astrology. You said that you did astrology like 20 years ago on a regular basis.
Well, it wasn't a regular basis as much as just kind of studying it and kind of working with it and just getting to know, you know, aspects of astrology, how to do a natal chart. And 20 years ago is when you actually had to open up an ephemeris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was not like today, you know, click the internet, blah, 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 put in my date, and it's all right there.
Did you find out a lot of stuff about yourself from your chart when you were doing that?
You know, I did. I thought it was kind of interesting as far as what I found out about myself. What I was really intrigued with was other people. Their astrological charts, and you know, universally it just seemed that people would say, yeah, that's me. The funny thing is, if you believe in it, it really fits you. If you don't believe in it, you know, you tend to kind of or be very dismissive about it, and you could say all those traits don't apply. I think it's really applicable depending on how much a person believes in it.
I actually take a little different stint with it from with that what you just said, where I believe your natal chart, that's like, you know, a computer that you get right off the factory shelf. That's what you have, all your specifications and everything. But during a lifetime, depending on choices you make and the experiences that you have, you know, that will definitely influence what that factory model is. Because I don't know about you, but like for me especially, you know, I have a desktop and I've had it for a few years, and I have added stuff to it. I've added more RAM, I've added an extra hard drive, I've added more things to it. So it is not anywhere near, you know, what it was when it first came off the factory shelf and it, you know, the first time it was turned on. And I kind of see astrology as the same way, where the natal chart is, you know, these are your factory specifications. And by the time you get into life and everything, you can add and change things around. But at the same time, you know, that's what you were given to start with.
So what it sounds like to me for you, it's kind of like you say the factory settings, like a default, restored default settings kind of thing. but you're saying that it's kind of like you get a blueprint, and the blueprint kind of says, you know, these are the tendencies and these are the influences at birth. But then as you go through life and make choices and have life experiences, that kind of tweaks and alters and tailors it and customizes it. Is that?
Oh, completely. You know, okay, let's say that you have in a chart where it says, oh, you're probably, you know, very unlucky in life. Well, if you read that and you buy into it, like when you're 16 or 17 years old or even early 20s, that might, you know, lead you to not feel very lucky in life and start acting that out. Whereas, you know, someone interprets it a different way where it says you're not lucky in with money or you're not lucky in love. Those are more specific. Now, if you come into that information later in life, you would have already probably worked on that issue. If you come into that like in your 30s or 40s, then probably through your teens and 20s, you didn't have any of that, you know, personal belief system. So therefore, you're like, oh, I'm not unlucky or lucky. I'm just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as an effect to you. And since you had gotten to that level, you have overcome a lot of what that aspect in your chart actually says.
Okay.
So therefore, from your growth and your, you know, your spiritual and mental and emotional growth, you were able to downgrade the influence of some of the aspects of your chart.
Okay. So now that leads to the question of, then what is really the merit of a natal chart, for example?
Well, if you look at all the aspects of all the planets and all the houses, there is so much information there. And then you bring in transits, you know, from where what happened when you're born to where it is right now. You know, time keeps moving, and you're not going to be hitting every single one of those aspects all at the same time. They're always there. Sometimes one aspect will come out more to the surface, and other times, you know, at your different age groups, other things will come out more to your to the surface. So therefore, the merit is, you know, seeing what's all there. And, you know, for me personally, one of the things that my chart says is that I'm really good with people, and that my karma, as it were, is to work on relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't specify friendships or romantic or family or anything. It just says relationships. And so, having known that back in the, you know, back in my early 20s, I was able to focus on, okay, well, how do I want to relate to people? Well, how do I relate to people now?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually spent a few months going around, you know, talking to friends, is like, okay, be totally honest with me. How am I coming across to you? How do you see my influence on you? And got a really good sense of the effect that I have, you know, on other people. And then since I knew where I was able to say, do I want to continue working on these and having this, you know, this type of relationships with people, or do I want to move in a different way? And what I found was, basically, I was working off of a family structure, and I wanted to be more in a personal structure. And so when I was able to move from the family relationship with people to a more personal, defined, conscious relationship with people, things started working a lot better, and I felt a lot stronger relationships with the people that I was friends with.
Okay.
That's a mouthful, I know. Sometimes it takes me a while to get around to what I'm actually, the point I'm actually making, so I apologize if I get a little wordy.
No, that's all right. I assume you're going to get there, so I'm just going to kick back and enjoy the ride.
Do you see that it's possible to, you know, as a movie once said, you know, change your stars?
Do I think it's possible to change the stars? Change your stars? I think there's, you know, a lot of what you said that is kind of where I come from. I think astrology in and of itself, I can't say that it's without merit. I don't believe it's without merit. I don't believe it's, you know, without influence. I'm a Gemini, and so am I. So as a result, a lot of things that are said about a Gemini, yeah, they I think they're applicable. And when I've done my natal chart, there were things that I found. And interestingly enough, things I found in my natal chart, I think there's a lot of what you said about there being a kind of a factory setting that has makes a lot of sense, because, yeah, I could see how I could be that way, but the sum total of my experiences has kind of guided me in a different way. You know, maybe I have a tendency, but the experiences have kind of almost created so many layers on top of that that the experiences have taken the default rather than the influence of the what's in the chart.
Yeah, it's like, you know, my sun sign is a Scorpio. After person that I've met for years after years after years, you know, going all the way back to, you know, my early 20s, you know, they find out that I'm a Scorpio, and they're like, no. I'm like, yeah. And the problem is they just cannot believe that I'm a Scorpio. They're just like, you are like no other Scorpio I've ever met. I would have considered you to be like a Cancer or a Sagittarius or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that probably why, you know, that is from my chart is that I have my moon in, you know, in Sagittarius, and I'm a highly emotional person. So therefore, a lot of the lens of what people see is through my emotions, which would be a Sagittarius, more of a fire sign, as right. opposed to a water sign.
That makes sense.
But yeah, if you get that's one thing I found looking at astrology is you can go with just your sun sign, but you're missing out on a lot of information.
Yeah, absolutely. The natal charts are so rich with all sorts of details. I mean, not just which planets are in which houses, but when you start looking at the not the transits, the aspects exactly, that you know, in okay, yeah, you have a moon in Leo, and you have a your Mars is in Capricorn, but then again, where are they in relation to each other? You know, yeah. Are they forming a square, are they forming a triangle, blah 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 blah. What's changed in the 20 years for me as far as astrology goes is kind of how much weight we put on it.
Oh.
I'm a Gemini. I mean, people are saying, well, you have two sides to you. And, you know, I do. And there's schools of thought that say everybody, you know, has two sides to them to some degree. You know, those are the people that find it dismissive. But my takeaway has been, yes, there's definitely an influence in astrology, in my belief. In my belief, if you've got a moon that can pull an entire ocean, depending on where it is, and we're like, what, 98% water?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to be a little susceptible to getting pulled one way or another, depending on where the moon is. Now, imagine something, you know, bigger than the moon, like Jupiter, which, what is that? You could fit four Earths just in that red spot on it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like that humongous thing. You're going to tell me that giant gravity well is not going to have some kind of influence, you know?
Oh, yeah, and not only that, but the influence on not only the Earth, but the planets and the moons and the other planets in the solar system and, you know, the sun and everything being connected and, you know.
Exactly.
That's one area of astrology that starts making my head spin is when you start doing transits.
Ah.
Because you start off with your chart to begin with, then you take where things are right now, and just the natal chart at your birth has so much information with the houses, the aspects, the planets, and all that. Then you try to transit to where it is now and see, well, if your Jupiter was in the first house, now it's now in the third house, but how does that third house Jupiter affect my first house Jupiter from my natal chart with my trine, you know, sun in, I don't know, 10th house, and that where my original sun was over in my third house, and that's where the astrology has started to make my head spin a lot.
Oh yeah, that's the one you want to leave to the pros.
Yeah,
it's like trying to do, you know, underwater calculus or something like that.
Yeah, as far as just reading the natal chart, I have to admit, I've been one of those weekend astrologers for a long time. I'll go through phases where, you know, I'll be totally into it for a few months, and then I won't touch it for, you know, 9 or 10 months until almost another year or so.
Yeah.
And I've actually gotten to the point now where everything that I've ever picked up is starting to fall in place a little bit more. I couldn't go through and say, oh, house one is this, house two is that, house three is that. But I'm starting to get more of an intuitive sense when I look at a chart now, as opposed to previously when I'd look at a chart like, I know these things mean something, but I don't know what they mean.
Yeah. Where's the textbook? I need to consult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flip page.
So, but yeah, the whole influence of the planets and the gravity wells and all that stuff, and, you know, human, like you said, human body is at least 2/3 water, which means every cell that our, you know, synapses, and especially in our brain, are firing on, all the hormones that is rushing through our bloodstream, all the nervous system, you know, our spinal cord is, you know, made 2/3 of water too, and that's how we get information from our senses and everything. And so, yeah, I agree totally with you with the influence of planets and everything with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the only thing I've had to be careful with is to not lose myself in astrology.
Right.
In other words, you know, say, oh, well, my chart says this. This is just how I am.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and well, says I have I'm a Scorpio. Well, I'm supposed to be very, you know, aggressive and secretive and mysterious and want nothing to more than to have sex and all this other stuff. And it's like, no. It's like, if you want to choose that way, sure. But you know, it's kind of like giving away personal power.
Oh, absolutely.
To a chart. And I sometimes like to go into that daydream a little bit, but you know, only for a short time, and then you know, it's like no.
Well, the way I look at it is because like the word I used earlier was influence, and I think that's a really key one. That's a really big one, and influence is really, you know, somebody can influence you, you know, peer pressure, you know, come on, man, come on, just try it. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a choice in the matter. It doesn't mean that you're going to try it just because they influenced you. You know, people can have influence over you, but that's not controlling you. Just like what you're saying, you know, not giving away your personal power. There's aspects of transits and just even regular astrology that says, okay, you know, Mars is in this house, and if you're of this sign, you got to be careful, you know, make sure, you know, if something's in retrograde, you're going to fall and trip over and break your kneecap or whatever. If you want to use it as a guidepost, for example, I look at, you know, what a planet is doing or at a certain time or in a certain house or whatever, the same way you look at what time of day are you crossing the street. You know, you're going to cross the street a little bit more cautiously on days where there's more traffic going back and forth. Where days there's maybe one or two cars, you can cross a little bit more confidently. You know, people are going to drive different speeds. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I can't cross the street because there's a lot of cars going on. So I'm just not even going to bother crossing the street, you know.
Oh, yeah. Give up before you start.
Right, exactly. So it's rather more just looking at how it's influencing you, making decisions based on maybe what the influence is of that particular planet or transit or if it's in retrograde or not, but not saying I can't do this because this is the behavior, you know, of the stars.
Oh yeah, totally. And I think that's part of what I was doing earlier when I was talking to my friends about, okay, how do I relate to you? How do you see this, my influence on you? And, you know, that defined much more specifically what my chart was saying. And it's like, oh, okay, so you have Mars, Venus, Mercury, all in Scorpio. I'm like, oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then I went back to it, and I was just like, wait a second. Let's flip this around a little bit. Stop seeing this as a detriment and seeing what kind of qualities I'm able to take from this and express to the world. You know, it was like, oh, well, hey, you know, the Venus, that's love, that's compassion, a lot of those kind of qualities. Then you have the whole Mars thing, that's, you know, it's like, it will happen, this is just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really argue much with Mars. Mars gets what Mars wants.
Right.
Or makes life very unhappy. Mars and Saturn, oy.
Yeah, the big players.
But yeah, and then, of course, having the Moon in Sagittarius with all that other stuff, I was like, okay, so basically what this allows me to do socially is be very charismatic, be very friendly, and have an instant rapport with a variety of people from all kinds of walks of life and belief systems and you know, things like that. And I was just like, that I like. That I like a lot.
So here's my question for you.
Okay.
Do you think you would have found that those aspects or come to learn about them, about yourself, without the astrological chart, without the natal chart?
I believe I would have. Don't think I would have learned about it as early, though. Because there were times with coworkers at certain jobs that I've had, I hadn't been into astrology for a while, and you know, I was just like, they were talking about, oh, you know, I want to go out and hang out with somebody, and I'm like, well, you know, just talk to people, make friends, like, and they basically said, Donald, it's not as easy for me as it is for you. I'm like,
right,
it's not necessarily easy for me. I just start talking to people and go on from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe those same kind of experiences would have happened regardless, and that would have let me to know that, oh, this is how you relate to people, and this is how people see you as a friendly person. But knowing that earlier, I was able to work on it and refine it and focus it so that I was much more aware of it in the beginning as opposed to later in life. Kind of like, you know, if you know you're an extremely attractive person when you're a teenager, people let you know. Mm-hmm. And you can use, you know, your looks to open up a lot of opportunities for you. What if nobody ever gave you any kind of impression that you were good looking until you were into your 30s or 40s? You were still good looking and they probably would have opened opportunities. You just weren't aware that they were being opened because of your looks.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. What I'm understanding from what you're saying is that you get a little bit of an inside track from gleaning information from a natal chart.
Oh yeah. It's basically finding those areas that you already, you know, have a natural talent for and just building them up so that you have those skills, you know, right there. Like I was saying, for me, a lot of the skills I have would supposedly make me an extremely good salesperson. And it would also make me an extremely good, you know, pastor that gives sermons every Sunday or whatever. Of course, if you go with just a general Scorpio, I could be a police person, a mechanic, or an engineer, and I'm just like, well, where do you choose? So yeah, knowing that ahead of time, I was able to build up that one friendliness aspect much more early in life instead of waiting until later in life. And that, of course, brought more skills and more understanding with human interaction.
So how did you create a balance between finding that information about yourself, the balance between these are the strengths I have to play off of, and these are the challenges I have to meet, versus, well, this is the way I am, so I just can't do this, or this is in my chart, so I have to do this. How did you create a distinction? How did you not lose your empowerment?
I heard a quote long, 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 long time ago. This is one that everybody knows. It's called fake it till you make it.
Right.
And so basically, you know, I would have my chart here and it would say this, this, and this. And then I would think about it and I'd be like, well, who do I want to be? Okay, I want to be this. What areas of my chart will allow me to have the skills that I want to do that? And how do I express those more strongly? And then it's like, well, hey, my chart says this. And well, I don't think that's going to work very well for where I want to go. And so I would basically say, okay, if it says you're going to be unlucky, I'm like, well, I am a very lucky person. And I would just tell myself with affirmations over and over again, like, I'm just a lucky person who, you know, lives a very exciting and amazing life. And I found that regardless of what your chart says, you have your own personal choice to make for whatever you want to do or wherever you want to go or whoever you want to be in life. And I think what you're referring to and asking is if you choose to express the talents and skills that you have in your chart, then sure, you pay attention to them, you refine them, you build them up. If you don't want to worry about those, life might be a little more difficult until you get the hang of it. In other words, until you make it. And therefore, you still get to choose wherever you want to go. I don't know if that is answering your question as well as you wanted to or not.
No, I think it does. I think it sheds a lot of light on that question. You know, it's such a complex fulcrum as we go through life, just like you said. You know, we do have strengths. If you regard your strengths and you regard the areas that are challenging for you, you're really kind of carving out an easier path to go down. You know, to me, it's finding a balance between all the tools that are at our disposal. We've got astrology, you've got Myers-Briggs charts, you've got psychology, you've got relationships that you've built through family, ties, and all that other stuff. And then balancing that with things like, you know, which, of course, we'll talk about in another episode, things like the manifestation, law of attraction, personal power, all the things that, you know, say, well, don't even worry about any of that stuff. Just go for what you want. And you're good. So, but I think there's a good balance between the two, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's like I'm saying, you know, if you find stuff in your chart that you like and that you want to, you know, refine and become really good at and express to the world, then by all means do it. And if you find your obstacles in your chart, then, you know, you'll know, hey, maybe I shouldn't waste time doing that. Like for me personally, I am not that good of a business person. The whole idea of business and working all that stuff together, it really bores me, and I don't really have a knack for it. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, with any kind of money, I'm extremely good at managing it.
Okay.
So for me, if I started a business, I would go out and I would hire people to be like, okay, you're good at marketing, I'll hire you and I'll let you do my marketing. You're good at creating websites, I'll hire you and let you create the website. And then I will worry about, you know, how to manage the money and how much am I going to put out to this area over here? How much am I going to put out to this area over here? How much do I need for advertising? That lets me save time and money and a lot of heartache from saying, yes, I could spend 5, 10, however many years and go to business school, get my MBA, and I will probably do fairly well. But it doesn't interest me.
Right.
It's not where I want to go. So I will just be more than happy to pay for somebody else to do that part where I get to focus on the areas that I actually do like.
So, you know, I'm curious of something in listening to this, because you mentioned your chart and what it's shown you about your strengths and shown you about where your challenges are, where things don't come as easily or naturally, let's say. You know, I don't want to say weakness, because I don't think there's such a thing. I think there's strengths and challenges. But I noticed that you refer more to your natal chart than you do to current astrology, like transits and those kind of things. Do you pay less regard to those, you know, current astrological positions and stuff than you do what's in your natal chart? Do you think there's more merit in what's in your natal chart?
That's a tough question, actually. I have found that regardless of what's happening in the skies with the transits, I seem to be more influenced with basically my natal chart as it was. When I was 28 years old, you know, that was my solar return. And I was sitting there going, okay, well, something interesting should be happening. And I was looking around and I was just like, nope. Nothing really has changed much. People talk about Mercury in retrograde, how, you know, everything goes crazy and, oh, communication and travel, not good. And I'm just like, okay, I'm communicating, I'm traveling. Doesn't seem to be really an issue.
Well, you know what? It might be an issue for you, Donald, if you believed it was. You know, I shouldn't do these kind of things. Everything goes wrong when Mercury's in retrograde. You know what? Odds are pretty good that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's like whatever you believe, you will conceive.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, whatever you put your power to, that creates your reality for you to a large degree. If you start going out there and be like, I see pink unicorns, well, it might be a little difficult to actually have a naturally, you know, produced pink unicorn. You know, reality within, you know, being realistic.
You know what? I'm going to sidestep our conversation about astrology because I love that whole topic. I can't wait till we start talking about the nature of reality. But with a pink unicorn, if you believe that you see pink unicorns, yeah, they may be only real to you. But if they're only real to you and you base all your decisions on that pink unicorn, then you got to assume that it's real for you. You know what I mean? Whether it's real or not, is that really the issue as much as how you respond to what you believe is real?
I see what you're saying. You're saying regardless of whether anyone else believes that the pink unicorn is there, much like if anyone, you know, gives merit to astrology or their natal chart, if it's real to you, then it has influence over you and it will direct the choices that you make in life.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is it's really trying to figure out, because there's things about astrology. People say if you believe in that, you're just kind of cracked or whatever. But there's really something I think very valuable in what you said, which is, to use an example, I am not athletically inclined. I'm just not. Now, for years and years and years, I believed I could not dance. My wife and I took a ballroom dancing course, and we actually discovered that I could do this.
Hmm.
Was I not able to dance because I didn't think I could? Well, I was able to, I found. However, I am not the kind of person that if I pick up a ball, you know, and throw it up in the air and hit it with a bat, that's going to happen easily. There are some people that they pick up that and it just happens because their hand eye coordination is, they're just gifted that way. It just comes very naturally. It doesn't for me. I mean, I have near perfect pitch. So there's people that tell me there's no way I could ever learn to play an instrument. Well, yeah, why not? But these are the things that we are born with. These are the things that, you know, if I know I'm not naturally inclined or athletically inclined, sure, I could very likely learn to play sports. I believe that. But what's the odds that I'm going to make a career out of it?
Yeah, as opposed to someone who is born, who is athletically inclined just naturally.
Right.
Where they actually feel pain, that they start feeling physical, emotional, and mental stress if they aren't out exercising or doing something active with mm-hmm. their body.
Right. And it's just playing to knowing that. And I think to look at an astrological chart might uncover some of the little things that you didn't realize about yourself that, you know, well, I'm kind of this way, but there's also this aspect of my personality that's kind of in challenge with that other aspect of my personality. And knowing that, it's like having the tools to go into battle. You're kind of armed for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of merit to natal charts in that way. I don't think it's the only source, but I think there's a lot of benefit to it. You know, I personally think there's more benefit to that as long as you don't so rigidly define yourself by it. If you understand that, you know, like I said, I just to say that someone's not athletically inclined doesn't mean that they can't play sports. It just means that their path is going to be a little different than the person who can. You know, and you know, not to get too tangential, but there is something to be said for things that come easily for you does not necessarily mean that that's a good thing. Astrologically, there's kind of been some things in my charts that have lent to the fact that I have kind of some luck on my side. I think there's more to it than just the natal chart. But having luck on your side, does that necessarily say it's a good thing? You know, a lot of people would raise their hand and say, well, I'll take some of that luck if you don't want it. But I'll tell you, if you're lucky and then your luck runs out, then where are you? You're kind of left naked standing in the wind.
I agree with you. I'm just on the topic of luck, which we should do an episode on that.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, luck, you know, is that something that is just bestowed upon you, you know, at any given time in your life, or is it something that you create?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I mean, I personally believe that, you know, regardless of what your chart says or what anyone else says, you know, luck is to a degree what you make it. And like astrology, you might have some natural inclinations or luck be naturally bestowed on you, but if you don't work to express it or have it expressed, then people may not see you as lucky. And also, going on that, just for another small moment, luck is a matter of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people may look at you and say, oh, he is so unlucky and his whole life is just fraught with, you know, misfortune. But then you might be like, you know what? I'm not hungry. I'm not starving. I'm in good health. Right. I'm good.
Have you seen the guy that he was born with no limbs? Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't.
I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's born with no limbs. And this guy's just like, you could say that this tragedy befell me, but there's no tragedy involved here. You know, mm-hmm. me having no limbs has nothing to do with the outcome of my life. You know, this was not unlucky. It's just who I am. You know, I think he sees having no limbs that a lot of people see, you know, having brown hair or, you know, to him, it's the same thing. It's just like, well, this is who I am. This is what I am. So, you know, I'm going to go about my life. You know, some people would say, oh, the poor guy, he's got so many, he's not able to do this. Well, he's standing on a soccer field, you know, bumping a ball around. So it's like, it's kind of interesting what you say about that. And that's the thing about a natal chart, too, you know. So it may say that you have challenges interpersonal relationships this way, you know, might be a little more tricky, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't make it impossible. You know, like you said, it's a perception of luck.
And like what you were talking about earlier, you know, things that come easy to you, if that's all you focus on and that's all you express out into the world, I would think that would get kind of boring after a while, because, you know, it's just like, oh, I guess I'll go out and make $1 million. Okay, I have another $1 million. This is so easy. There's no challenge. There's no overcoming an obstacle. And I think in a chart, that's why, you know, obstacles are good to a degree, so that you can say, hey, you know, you can work on this area. You can, in, you know, I don't think you ever really overcome anything from your chart or your personality, from what your core personality, mm-hmm. regardless of your environmental or attitude or, you know, whatever you grew up with, or, you know, I'm talking about just the core of who you are. I don't think you overcome any of that, those core traits that you have. But I believe that the obstacles that you, that come in with those cores, give you something to express yourself, so that you can build confidence, so that you can be like, hey, I've had this issue for a while, and now, you know, I've worked to overcome it, and I'm managing it extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you're talking about with the gentleman with, that has no limbs. You said he was out on a soccer field?
Yeah, well, if, I have to look at the video again. Actually, if I remember correctly, he was out on a soccer field, and somebody kicked a ball, and he said, hey, I wasn't ready, you know, jokingly. So, but then again, that's his perspective. He's, you know, he's like, you know, this, it's the elephant in the room for him. It's like, well, what do you, that's what it is. So, you know, I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah. And well, I look at it this way. Okay. If you tell somebody, hey, there's a guy out on a soccer field playing soccer with people, you know, he may not be, I don't know if he was, you know, an actual official player or of one of the teammates, or if they were just, you know, kicking a ball around for him and letting him have some fun. But regardless, hey, somebody with no limbs is out on a soccer field, and so, there are people interacting with him with a soccer ball.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, if you have no limbs, a lot of American culture, a lot of other cultures as well, would say, oh, you shouldn't even try, dude. There's, you can't do anything. You can't walk. You can't, you know, you don't have, you can't pick things up. You can't do anything. So, you know, you're going to be a burden on society for your whole life, and you're going to have people take care of you this way and that way. And, you know, if you're told that your whole life, then the idea of, hey, I'm going to go out on a soccer field with no limbs and actually play around with a ball with other people, you know, that doesn't even come into your thoughts, because, you know, you've been told that you're nothing more than a burden on a society.
Right.
And I think that's probably what happens with a lot of people that, you know, get on welfare or public assistance or something like that. Now, there's exceptions to every case, obviously. But, you know...
Well, you know, can I springboard off of that?
Sure, go ahead.
I think when you look at a natal chart, that to me is probably one of the most important aspects of reading a natal chart that you can, that you can provide, which is that to have people understand, okay, this is what your natal chart is. These are the challenges that you face. That does not mean that you should not pursue these things or you should not go into these things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What it means is just be aware of this, that your path is going to be a little different than someone who, like we'll use the sports analogy, for me to play sports. Interestingly enough, my parents actually encouraged me to play sports. They always had me go in to play sports. I just had no interest in it. And that's a huge factor. You know, I had no interest in it. You know, I just didn't. Now, had I had interest in it, you know, I don't know if I didn't develop my athletic abilities because I didn't have interest. You know, I don't have that kind of hand-eye coordination. If I did have interest in it, I would have had to take a different route. But it's like, it's, you know, it's different for one person to say, you know what, you're not any good at sports, don't try. Or you're not as good as this guy and this guy and this girl and this girl. However, take that into consideration and know that you're going to have to work twice as hard. You're going to have to practice twice as much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying you can't get there. Just know that You can get there, but don't be disappointed if you don't get there the same way these people do. And I think if we look at a natal chart the same way, by saying, okay, these are your challenges, just understand what the road has in store for you. I'm saying if you want to do that, go for it. If your natal chart says that's not going to come easily, you know what? I always say to my wife, I don't say it to her as a lecture. It's my little term I came up with, this because something's hard to do is not a really good reason not to do it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I think that's kind of a good takeaway for a natal chart. You know, I think it's fascinating. I think it's great to look at all those things and really kind of know. But, you know, it's like, let's say you have a game, right? And everybody's given a different set of tools in the game and they have to find their way out of the forest. One guy's given a rope and a pocket knife. Another guy's given a flashlight and a bucket of water. And another guy's given another set of tools. Each guy, they say, get out of the forest. Well, you know, there's a way out for everybody. How they get out of the forest with the tools is going to determine the road they take. You know what I mean? So it's like an astrological chart says, well, these are your tools. This is where you want to go. Now that you know what tools you have, use those tools to find the way that you're going to go. It's not saying you should not go this way or you should not go that way, or don't even bother trying to do that because your ascendant sign is in Sagittarius, and we know how Sagittarius work. They're just crazy. So that's kind of my takeaway on natal charts.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that you brought up the analogy of being stuck in the woods and having four people with different, you know, tools and saying, okay, find your way out. I actually wrote an article on that, I believe, probably about 4, maybe 5 years ago. And it was right in line with what you're saying. You know, it's just like, yeah. And the big thing is, if these people ran into each other, it's like, hey, you have a fishing pole, I have a lighter, and this dude over here has some, dry wood. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I'll go get the fish. He'll put the wood down and, you know, make a pit and everything. If you can light it, we'll all be able to stay warm and be fed tonight.
Right.
And that's when you start moving out of, you know, your personal natal chart and having it overlap with other people's natal charts and how you interact with them and the influences that other people in your life have with you.
Right. Exactly.
And that's, I think that goes more along the lines of, you know, the old saying of what everyone says. It's like, you know, it depends on who you know.
Mm-hmm.
For depending on what you're talking about, you know, if you're talking about job or relationships or whatever, you know, if you know somebody who, if you know someone who's a matchmaker and you're single, you're probably going to have a date every night.
Yeah, right.
Whereas, you know, if you're single and, you know, all you know is
a plumber.
Yeah, exactly. You'll probably have somebody to hang out and watch the game with, you know, and chill, you know. But you may not have a lot of dates.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, once you, you know, move out of astrology or move from astrology of the self into the influences of how it takes into, you know, everybody else that is around, then to me, that I think is a part of astrology where it starts getting really, really intriguing. Mm-hmm. And it starts probably makes your head spin even a little more than transits, because, you know, you can look at anyone, and, you know, anyone that, you know, we can take a celebrity, we could take a sports star, we could take a politician, we could take anyone who has made it to the public eye, and you can go back through their life, and you can get their whole story. Like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go with Oprah, because Oprah Winfrey, awesome story, awesome success story, and, well, Oprah just rocks, at least in my opinion. But you look at her past and from where she started from, and, you know, it's just like most people would expect someone coming from that kind of a background to not really get out of the whole psychology, the psychological impact that had on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what Oprah Winfrey did she did a, she had one, I think she, if I remember correctly, it's been years since I actually heard about her story. She had one person, which I believe was a grandmother or an aunt, who inspired her with self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, that one person, that one family member, was able to inspire someone who came from, you know, very meager beginnings, that just that one spark was able to influence her choices, her career choices, her decisions of where she wanted to begin, opportunities that she took, and, you know, basically everything. That's what I'm talking about, where, you know, you have... Everybody has their own tools, and if you work with them with other people, like I think it was her aunt. Her aunt probably had one of the tools of being an inspiration, being able to inspire people.
Right.
And so, therefore, using that skill, especially with her family members, and particularly with Oprah, Oprah basically took that and went, you know, okay, yeah, I'm going to believe you and forget the rest of what the world says I should be and how I should be and what my life should be or what I'm going to, the possibilities of where I'm going to end up. Forget that. I'm just going to go and go and go because I know what I want to do. I'm going to go that way, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think psychologically, whether or not you are on the fence about astrology or not, if you have a decision, if you have a choice of where you want to go, you know, don't sit on the fence. It's either you're going or you're not. It's like you jump out of a plane. You know, are you jumping or you're not? Because you can't make change your mind halfway out of the plane or halfway down, you know, when you're skydiving.
You know, actually, that's going to be a great topic for when you talk about the decisions when you're stuck in a place. I have some great thoughts on that and some great ideas that I'd like to really explore in another one of our shows. Because I think there's something rich in that whole idea of being kind of stuck in that one place. But so, yeah, this has been a lot of really good information on astrology, you know, looking at natal charts and kind of how we want to play with them and stuff like that. There's more that we could explore. Maybe next time we'll explore actually looking at our natal charts and playing with transits or something like that in the future. But until then, that's our show. That's our episode. We thank everybody for listening. Appreciate you joining us. This is David.
And this is Donald.
And we wish you all a wonderful day, and peace be with you.